Lift your hands one more time and tell the Lord you are ready to receive. Can you whisper to Him from your heart? Make it personal. Even at this moment, and let your name be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Let's be seated for a moment. Because of the volume of what I have to communicate tonight, I would rather teach than preach. Glory to God. Our conference is tagged the convergence or the convocation of the ecclesia. When I heard the theme of the conference, I looked at the flyer, I saw the lineup, I said, this man is ready for serious business. God must be putting something strong in his heart. The convocation of the ecclesia. And our focus is occupy till I come. I'm going to attempt to outline what the theme implies, and then I'll try to delve in to the major emphasis of the Spirit for this holy convocation. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 28. In fact, let's read from verse 26. A point came when God saw the need to appoint another functionary that will represent his interest on the face of the earth. Because when you study the government of God, you will discover that is a very organized structure, and the idea behind that government is to have entities that know him by experience, entities that worship him, and entities that facilitate his will or agenda. These are the three major things that characterizes the government of Elohim. Because before creation began, God was. I tell people all the time that everything we know about God is captured within the syllables of Him as Creator. Whatever He was doing before He began creation, we are not permitted to come into that depth of knowledge. But it's important for us to know that God was before creation began. And there were many engagements that defined the civilization of God in Himself before He found it necessary to begin to create other entities to participate in that civilization. And when God decided, on account of His benevolence, to bring other entities that He had to create because there were none anywhere, to come into that fellowship, He had threefold agenda that He will be known. In fact, Jesus was speaking, He said, this is life eternal. That means any being that has the opportunity to participate in existence, what defines the essence of the existence of that being is his knowledge of God. So He said, life is not breath, because there are realms where beings don't breathe. It's only mortals that breathe to sustain the life of the soul. And a point comes when you are clothed with your celestial body and you will no longer need breath to survive, because there are realms beyond oxygen. So Jesus said, in case you want to understand life from the zenith of life, He said, life is the knowledge of God that you have. And knowledge in this context is the experience, the depth of the experience of God that you have. So one of the things that defines the relevance of creatures that participate in God's civilization is the depth of intimacy that they share with God, the experience of God that they have. And then the second thing that gives value to our creation is the depth of our worship of God. And I tell people, worship is not a song, but you can worship through singing. Because when you study the word worship, the first time it was used in scripture, nobody was singing. In Genesis 22 verse 5, Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. And he said, I'm going yonder to worship with a young lad. And so, if you understand worship, you discover that worship is actually a heart posture of adoration and yieldedness to the dictates of God. And so when a creature comes to a point where he knows God by experience, the natural byproduct of that knowledge is worship. Because now that he has known God, the promptings of God will be awoken in his spirit. And on the strength of that, he will have no choice but to adore him, because the glory and the ecstasy that comes out of God is beyond comprehension. That is why even the elders that live in the throne room, day and night, they fall on their faces. They never get used to him. Because every time you look upon him, you see other dimensions. And so when a man begins to experience God, worship is the natural byproduct. He adores him, and then he falls on his faces. That's a testimony of surrender. Whatever is your desire, that becomes the meaning of my life. And so this is what defines the civilization of God. That creatures know him, they worship him, and then he can entrust them with his will. So they facilitate that will. Because every government has an agenda. The United Kingdom has an agenda. And there are entities that advance that agenda. You know, I'm wearing a suit today not because I love it. I was manipulated to like it. Because when you go back to my forefathers, where we came from, we wear something else other than suits. But aeons before now, the United Kingdom had an agenda to colonize the world and to impact their culture to the world. So the language I'm speaking is not mine. I don't love it, but I have to speak it to communicate. All of this is part of the agenda. So a day will come when the whole population of the world will speak the language of the natives of this land. They will dress like the natives of this land, so that their lives become an expression of the culture of these people. And so they sent a team from one territory to the other. The team they sent is called the Ecclesia. So you have somebody who is in charge of the government, somebody who is in charge of the army, somebody who is in charge of the legislature. They co-opt them together and they send them to distant lands. And they tell them, your assignment is simple. Make this place a reflection of the UK. So that a king sits here, but is in charge of many entities, many realms, and many regions. And it is not their fault. That's the agenda of every kingdom. God also wanted to colonize the realms that he created. And so he has an agenda. And so a people that know him, a people that worship him, are now saddled with the responsibility of advancing his will, which is to ensure that the kingdoms of the heavens become the reflections of the kingdoms of the earth. Meanwhile, God will not need to leave his throne to come to the earth, but the agents that he sends will be so skilled in creating what he has created until they make this realm reflect heaven. And before God began to do that with man, angels were the ones doing it. Because there was a prince who was the governor of the earth realm. Because this earth we live in is not the first earth. There was an earth that was destroyed before this earth was created. Because this earth we are living in is actually not a creation, it's a reconstruction. Because if you study Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 2, it said, the earth was void. It said, darkness was on the face of the deep. And we understand why the earth became void. Because the first governor of the earth violated God. And so the earth was judged. And the way it works is that when an agent who is in charge of a domain is judged, the region is also judged. Because the region will naturally be a reflection of the character of the prince that governs the realm. And so when the first earth was judged, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 23, you'll find what I'm talking about. So the earth was void, it's not a statement that first appeared in Genesis 1-2. when the earth was judged, when the princes that ruled the first earth were judged, the earth was also judged. And so God came back to reconstruct the earth. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 25 was a reconstruction process. Now that God has reconstructed the earth, he needed a new governor. And this time around, he wouldn't use an angel. And so the council of the Godhead came together and there was a deliberation. The Father was interacting with the Word, and the Word was interacting with the Spirit, and the Spirit was interacting with the Father. And the summary of that conversation is, we need another governor to rule the earth. And so when they went into the womb of wisdom, what came out was man. And so if you study Genesis 1:26, the Bible said, God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let that man have dominion over this visible region that we are reconstructing. And so God sent man here as his agent to advance his will upon the face of the earth. And so man, and in alignment with other princes, once and again will appear before God in heaven. If you study the book of Job, the Bible said the sons of God appeared before God, and they said Satan also came, because he is now in charge of hell. He's a constituent. So the first convocation of the ecclesia is actually in heaven, where regional guardians come back to give report to the King of Kings. But you see, apart from that ecclesia of the heavens, there are also territorial ecclesias. Because eventually, as the earth begins to diversify, you'll find that there are many spheres, there are many strata, and there are many kingdoms. And God expects that his sons will rule over those regions. And so the convergence of the sons of God on earth to advance his agenda is what we call the convocation of the ecclesia. And so when we are talking about the ecclesia, we have gone beyond church membership. We are talking about citizens and legislators that come to sit at the gate, and the goal is to defend the interests of God and to advance the frontiers of his kingdom. That's the idea behind the ecclesia. Because when you study that word, its root meaning speaks of a people separated. And they are not just separated because they want to be isolated. They are separated because they are representatives of a group of people. And the idea is for them to propagate laws that will regulate the culture and the operation of the people. And so the church happens to be the ecclesia that represents the idea of God. You know, it wouldn't have been such a complex thing, except that the first Adam didn't know that he was representing a heavenly government on earth. So other spirits were looking for how to have a place in the agenda that God was running on earth. And so when the devil came to whisper to him in the garden, he didn't know that he was opening a gate. And the moment he opened that gate, Satan came in, and he also took authority over jurisdictions and realms. And so now, there is a contention. The ecclesia will not just represent God anymore. The ecclesia will also stop the agenda of darkness, so that the will of God alone finds expression in the visible realm. And so when we are talking about the ecclesia, we are talking about people who represent God's interest on the earth, so that their presence is the only reason why God's agenda can be advanced. If they are not there, it will be impossible to advance God's agenda. God initiated it in Eden. It was sabotaged by the rebellion of man, and God reinitiated it when Christ came. Because the ecclesia must stand for God's agenda to be facilitated. And so when we are talking about the ecclesia, there are six things that define who the ecclesia is. For them to have the stature to represent God's agenda, Adam would have done it by precourse. He opened the gate for Satan. Satan came, instituted his own kingdom, took from the sons of men to represent his kingdom. But there is a handful that Jesus came to redeem, so that that agenda that God started in Eden will not stop. Because the kingdom of this world must become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And so the ecclesia is God's embassy on earth. The ecclesia is God's government on earth. The ecclesia is God's fortress on earth, saddled with the responsibility of extending the frontiers of God's government to the visible realm. When our assignment is done, the people of the earth will speak the language of heaven. When our assignment is done, the culture of the people of the earth will reflect the culture of heaven. See, a day will come when if the ecclesia grows in stature, even your parliament, they will pray there before they start talking. Because the idea is to put the culture of heaven to earth. So anything the angels do in heaven, men will do here. We will talk the word of God in parliament. We will pray in parliament. We will worship in parliament. Because the ecclesia has come. You know, the problem of the church is that we think we are another organization. And we think our priority is for us to be many. We think it's just about dancing. But that's not so. In my country where I come from, we have the governmental ecclesia. And they have 109 senators. Now, you know what that means? We have 36 states in Nigeria. Each state has 3 senators that represent them. So when we are talking ecclesia, number is not a factor. Rank is what matters. Rank. That means when those 3 people speak, if you like, stand up in your state, gather 200 people and say, we no go agree. It don't matter. You don't have a voice on the street. They don't talk on the street. They talk at the gate. So what the 3 men say is what will affect the state. So if you want things to happen, just make sure you get the right people to go to the ecclesia. So God will have no hope on earth unless the church rises. Number is important though, because the glory of the king is in the multitude of the people. But if all we have is number, we are joking. We need men who can rise and take mountains for God. And their presence there will establish the agenda of God. A day will come when even in the market, people will be praying. And then you ask them, what's going on? They say, no, we sense the Holy Spirit moving. Because the move of the Holy Ghost is not only in church. The move of the Holy Ghost is supposed to be the earth. He said, the glory of God shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But until the ecclesia rises, that will not happen. Because there are astrologers, there are warlocks in your land. There are men who have gone under the bridge and they've casted spells. And anybody who walks through there will suddenly say, I don't feel like a man. A full grown man wakes up and says, I feel like a woman. And because of that, I want to be a woman. It means another ecclesia is piping a frequency. When this ecclesia rises, we will change the color of the moon. We will change it. We will change it. We will change the color of the moon. We will bring the blood. Because our color is not 7, it's 1, it's red. It's the blood of Jesus. Ecclesia will rise. But you see, let's understand who we are. But why do we gather? What informs the convergence, the convocation, the collocation of the ecclesia? So that everybody who is living here will live with a mentality. You will begin with your family, but beyond your family, you will take your territory. That's why we came. Oh my God. And you know why I am convinced that it's possible? Because the first ecclesia on earth was one man. His name is called Adam. So if God could entrust the earth to one man, we are already too many here. But we need to understand who we are and what we have. This is why we have gathered. See, somebody tell yourself, we will occupy. Please sit down for a moment. So when the ecclesia converges, there are 6 things that define our operation. Number 1, if this is an ecclesia, it must be built on the revelation of Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, if you read from verse 13, Jesus gathered his disciples and said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, I am? And they say, some say you are Elias, some say you are Jeremiah, some say you are John the Baptist returned from the grave. Obviously, they were wrong. That's why they didn't have power. They were religious men gathered together with speculations. And Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, who do you say? Who do you say I, the Son of Man, I am? And in verse 16, Peter spoke He said, thou art the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, because it's not in the syllables of men. He said, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you. And Jesus made a statement. He said, thou art Peter. Upon this revelation, he said, I will build my ecclesia. Because there are other ecclesias on earth. The serpent has his own ecclesia. The god of the desert has his own ecclesia. Poseidon has his own ecclesia. The Leviathan has his own ecclesia. He said, I know there are other ecclesias trying to colonize the earth. There's an ecclesia that says, until you commit immorality, you are not wise. There's an ecclesia that says, until you lie, you are not wise. There's an ecclesia that says, until you are naked, you are not beautiful. There is an ecclesia that says, until you are lawless, you are not wise. He said, but I'm building my own ecclesia. And my own ecclesia will bring the culture of heaven. He said, but it cannot be built except as the foundation of the revelation of Christ is established. And so when we come to this convocation, we are coming to the revelation of Christ. And so the first thing that all of us here must have is an acute revelation of Jesus Christ. If we don't have that revelation, even if we are a million, our number counts for nothing. The power, the rank of the ecclesia is the clarity of the revelation of Jesus that everyone possesses. You know what religion teaches us? It says if we are many, it's a factor. This is not garage. We are not out. Our strength is in the revelation of Christ that we have. So this convocation, one thing that must be reiterated again and again is the revelation of Christ. Anybody who walks out of here who does not have an accurate revelation of Christ and the implication of that revelation, he came into a gathering, he's not part of the ecclesia. Because what makes you a part of this convocation is the depth of that revelation that you carry. And everybody listening to me tonight, I trust the Holy Ghost that he will put that revelation in your spirit like a stamp. Nothing will take it away from you. The second thing that defines the convergence of the ecclesia is the presence of God. And I will show you bit by bit how all of these things find expression. In Matthew 18, from verse 18 to 20, he said, wherever two or three of you are gathered together in my name, he said, there I am in your midst. He said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He said, whatever you lose on earth is loosed in heaven. And so, another thing that makes us the ecclesia is our understanding on how to keep the presence. Because anybody who does not know the economy of the presence cannot wield the powers of the ecclesia. And so, the ecclesia is not a people trying to copy the world system. We have our own civilization. We are men that live under the cloud. And we know what to do to keep that cloud active, because that's what makes us the ecclesia. There are forces that make the presence to abide with us. And those forces are the indicators that defines our gathering. Number one, he said we must be gathered in his name. We are not here because we want to dance. We are not here because we miss ourselves. When we see ourselves, we may be excited, but we are here because we want to worship his name. We want to hallow his name. We want to honor his name. Because that's what makes the presence to tabernacle. And so a people become the ecclesia when they discern the name of Jesus. When they honor the name of Jesus. Number three, what makes us the ecclesia? We are ecclesias because when we gather, we do business with the world. Because this is how laws are given. Legislation and litigation is a product of the dislodgement of the power of God through the interactions that we have with the world. If the world does not define who we are joking. You know, sometimes people gather, they're acting drama. And we use 2 hours to add drama. They say time for the world. We use 5 minutes. That's why we are powerless. We can preach through dramas. Don't get me wrong. Dramas can carry messages. But if it's about fertilizing our appetite and not to go into deep water, we can't see the finger of God. The Bible said they that journey to the deep, they are the ones who see the wonders of God. This is a generation where when you talk the word of God for 30 minutes, people are tired. And they say they want to represent God. How can you be the ecclesia? The Bible says we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. We are metamorphosed. Our weapons are in the spirit. Until we touch the world, we can't come alive. You don't fight with your suit. You fight with your dimension. And the metamorphosis of the spirit only happens when the word is revealed. Oh, foolish Galatians. They say, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you? If we turn from the gospel, we have entered another religion. We do business with the word. That's why we are called the ecclesia. So when we gather, it's a feast of the word. Any generation, people want to travel. Hey, pastor said, hey, my papa said, we are joking. I know the place of covering. I know the place of direction. But if people want to think, and we have to think for them, we have raised infants. People even come up to preach, they will not quote scriptures. It becomes a political ground. I remember Papa said this, Papa said that, Papa, and Papa is the whole message. You will never hear them say John 2:12, Matthew 4:5. You will never hear them say the Holy Ghost told me. The ecclesia can't rise like that. If the ecclesia must be born, you go check. Why do you think the sons of the bondwoman are spreading like wildfire? Most of them, when they were teenagers, they could recite the Quran. That's why they came to the UK. The UK have not changed them. They are changing the UK. Meanwhile, we came. You see a Christian come here. After 3 weeks, he's speaking with accent. Because that's his focus. I'm not here. I don't know what's going on. Meanwhile, you see the sons of Haggai, when they come here, they are looking at the parliament. One day we will sit there, we will make laws that will change Europe. That's how they think. You see them, when they come here, they choose one area, they buy houses there, they apply for a mosque, they are looking for a place to release incense. They put money together. They want to get one mayor. Let's start with one. After 40 years, we may have 10 mayors. We may have a prime minister. Then we will tell you why we came. We are not wanderers. We came to colonize. They know their focus. Because they have chewed the word that defines their religion so much that it governs their thought pattern. The convocation of the ecclesia. Please sit down. We have watered down church to another social gathering. And so we have no power. We have no power. A new generation must rise. There is no weak among us, so make no mistakes. There is no weak person here. There are only sleeping people here. That's why the Bible says, awake, awake, thou that sleepest. They say Christ will give thee light. There's a life and a light that is available, but it's only for those who are awoken. But how can you awake when every day we are playing instead of legislating? The convocation of the ecclesia. Number 4, when the ecclesia gather, they gather because they want to commission men. He says, saviors shall come out of Mount Zion. Obadiah 1, verse 21. When we gather here, we want to raise functionaries that we can send to represent Jesus in different territories.
This is why you can't sit in church for 30 years and you are inactive. Don't tell us when you gave your heart to Christ. Tell us the territories you have taken. You see Christian bragging. I know when I gave my heart to Christ. In 1974, oh God, what have you done for Jesus? You go check the early church. Because it's either they were commissioned or persecution spread them out. And when they traveled as messengers. They traveled as agents of the kingdom. And everywhere they entered, they took over the land. You study the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2 verse 37. Peter preached. They were preached in their heart. Acts chapter 2 41. 3,000 was won. Acts chapter 4 verse 4. 5,000 was won. Acts chapter 8 verse 1. They were no longer winning people. They were winning territories. Philip went to Samaria. Acts 8 5. Preached Christ there. The city was filled with joy. And they sent to Jerusalem. Samaria has been taken. So they were counting men. They started counting cities. Because Jesus said, you are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. So a point must come when our number should be the city that we bring. So that when we... Do you think in the ecclesia they count men? No, they count constituencies. You don't count men in the ecclesia. You go check your government. They don't count men. They count territories. They count constituencies. In my country, we have 109 senators. Every three senators is a state. So when they gather, they are counting states, not men. That's the ecclesia. So how many territories have you taken? Either in the natural or in the spirit. Because it's either you are taking natural territories or you are taking spiritual territories. See, men will rise from here that will conquer the media. That when you talk, anything you say, we trend. Because that's a constituency. Man will live here that will take the academia. Man will live here that will take the mountain of music. Man will live here that will take government. So that when we gather, anything that needs to affect the media, we know where to look at. A time has come when departments should no longer be choir, ushering. No. Departments should be after the order of territorial takers. So when we look here, we know these are prophets. They have the voice to the nations. When we look here, we know these are miracle workers. So if you are sick, we don't need to shut the service and attend to you. Go to that side. Anybody you touch can heal you. That's how Israel was quantified. Judah was kingship. Levi was priesthood. Issachar was prophecy. Don't leave this service tonight until you become pregnant with the territory. Don't live here. I don't come to church as another number to be counted for attendance. No. When I come, I bring my territory. I bring my jurisdiction. I bring my own space. I'm an agent of a kingdom. That's a convocation of ecclesia. We represent territories. When would that day come that three people can be here and something needs to be done in parliament? They say, don't worry, we will take it up. It's done. Something needs to affect the media and shift the narrative. And two people say, don't worry, we will take it up. Because that's their territory. When would that time come that if we need something to happen in Birmingham, a man will stand up and say, relax, I have the map of that territory. I can take it. Today is football that have the attention of the land. Where are the ecclesias? There's a ground of commissioning where sons rise to take over. That's what it means to occupy. Can we pray for 1 minute? Veragadoska paradiga. Lantako paragoska predae. Ergedoska paragatiata, Sahila tamatori, Seperanos caparatia, Mentos tapatoria tata, Verocadona capapariataya. Arondo Soprakete, Segedonita, Barota, Sakapelia, Barota Kania Sada, Sada, Verrocatone Valacatiata.
Of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. We gather for equipping, re-equipping and refreshing. To some he gave to be apostles, Ephesians 4:11. Some he gave to be prophets. Some he gave to be pastors, evangelists and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. This is why you hear words like this, to charge you up that there's more to be done. This is why the prophet will come up and prophesy. It's not a show, he's strengthening you. There are dimensions you can't learn, it will be imparted. There are directions you need that you will be shown. And it's not just discipleship and impartation. There is also a convergence. There's what we call the dance of Mahanai, where the armies of earth aligns with the armies of heaven. Because when we come here, it's not just men that gather. You have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God,
to an innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, to the spirit of just men made perfect. So when we gather like this, the convergence is beyond earth. That's why when Paul was persecuting the church, Jesus spoke from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? There is a fusion, there's a connection that you can't separate. So when we gather like this, we are coming to interact, to draw. This is why sometimes you come to church, you leave and favor hit you. What you didn't know is that the guy you start with is a carrier of favor. It's a robber. Behold, how beautiful and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in harmony. Psalm 133 from verse 1 to 3. It's like the oil flowing from the head of Aaron to his beard, down to his skirt. So there is a connection, an equilibrium that takes place. The anointing that Aaron was sensing in his house alone, when it comes to the gathering, it becomes an abomination for only him to feel it. What is on the head rubs off at the skirt. So a man may not be a prophet, but he can see a vision. Because the web has been created. And when he breaks into that realm, he can carry a measure. And when he leaves, he begins to demonstrate it. Impartation, equipping happens. This is why those who don't discern the body, Paul said, for this cause you are weak. For this cause you are sick. He said, for this cause you die, because you have not discerned the Lord's body. Make no mistake, the guy sitting next to you may not wear a Gucci, but he may be wearing a mantle. You will touch him, and an angel will go with you. That's the mystery of the ecclesia. Some of us come here as individuals, others come here as dispensations. You will be shocked that some of the people seated here now are far higher than me who is talking to you in the spirit. That's the mystery of the ecclesia. Somebody may be sitting here now that Jesus spoke to 1 hour ago. And the reason this meeting will be charged is not because I pray, it's because he came. That's a mystery. You don't know the people seated here, sir. Somebody is seated here now that may have been fasting for the last 100 days. And anywhere he comes with open heaven. He enters the service. He sits at the back. You are preaching. The fire of God is moving. You say you are anointed. You are joking. Somebody came with open heaven. It's called the ecclesia. Do you know that I can finish preaching here and go? And many words of knowledge will not be released. Because I don't carry it, he carries it. If we allow everybody here to talk, you'll be amazed the dimensions you will see. But the beauty of the ecclesia is that everybody don't have to talk. Every time all of us pray, every time all of us are stirred, things flow out of us. Because when a cup is full, shake it, it will pour. Shake it. That's why you can't just sit. That's why you have to be stirred. You have to be stirred. Makorete kaya, bantakiba, shalena. You are in a mystical environment. Look around you. We left an auditorium. When we gathered here, we moved into a dispensation. We moved into a dimension. Angels are here. Spirit of judgment made perfect are here. The Holy Ghost is here. Christ is here. What you are seeing here is not just a gathering of men. This is a convergence of man and spirit. This is a convergence of dimensions, of realms, of possibilities. This is why Paul advised. He said, despite us, the gathering together of ourselves, you'll be doing a big mistake. The ground of equipping. Some through teaching, some through impartation, and some through rub off. You are sitting on the chair, you don't know who cleaned it. You don't know. The person who cleaned that chair may never preach. But that person is a broken person. And because it's broken, the presence of God is rich on her life. So when she cleaned that chair, she left something. You came and sat. You didn't know you left with something.
the ecclesia. Please sit down. It's a unique supernatural ground. And finally, the ecclesia is a gathering where the power of God is released for deliverance, and the power of God is released for the committer of inheritances. Obadiah 1:17. He said, when you come here, he said, there is what? Deliverance. He said, there is holiness. And he said, the sons of Jacob shall possess their possession. Some of you, you came here with cases that overwhelmed you. You will walk out, things will change, you won't know how. They ganged up, see, they ganged up against you in your office and say you will never get that position. They ganged up against you in your career. They said you will fail. Then you enter your own company. Did you read your Bible? When they flogged Peter and John, they didn't stand there arguing. The Bible said in Acts 4, they returned to their own company. They returned. And when they lifted their voices and prayed, he said the place where they were was shaking, and they were filled again with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word with power and boldness. And the Bible said that with great power God gave witness to the apostles of the resurrection of Jesus. And he said great grace was upon them. Great grace. You can't be part of the ecclesia and you are a victim. Even a lion has his own company. It's not enough to be a lion. You must have your own squad. You must have your own company. When we come here, we fuse into a corporate persona. When I live here, I live with an atmosphere. I live with a company. I may be seen as one man, but I come with the strength of many. I'm no longer one man. I'm a corporate persona because I represent a constituency. You go touch a senator and see who will fight you. Touch a senator. He won't fight you. It's the Senate that will rise up against you. Because he's part of a company. This is why most of you, Satan is afraid of you. It's not about your anointing. I know you are anointed. But Satan knows if he touches you, something will happen. Did you not read your Bible? Acts chapter 12. The Bible said, Herod took James, the brother of John, and slayed him with a sword. The ecclesia didn't know who they were until he stretched forth his hand and took Peter, because he saw that he pleased the Jews. Then the ecclesia woke up. The Bible said prayer was made. Oh my God. Prayer. Please hear this. He didn't say prayer was prayed. An individual can pray prayer. The church don't pray prayer. The church makes prayer. You know why? Because when we are praying, the unique elements of the prophet mingles with that of the apostle. It mingles with that of the broken man. It mingles with that of the righteous man. So what is going on are concoctions of the spirit. And when the angels perceive, they are incense, and they store them in fires for legislation. See, anybody that Satan pursued to this meeting, as you return with judgment. Makora Takaya, Selegedo, Sahila Taya. I say you return with judgment. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Now sit down quickly. That was quarter's line. Since I can't deal with the whole subject, I had to give you the course outline. So let's look at the revelation of Jesus so that prophet can come up. Because there's no way I would have thought all of that. So I had to list it. Now that I've given you the course outline, let's look at the revelation of Jesus, the foundation of the ecclesia. Matthew 16, verse 16. Who do men say, I, the Son of Man, I am? Some say you are Jeremiah. Others say you are Isaiah. Others say you are John, returned from the dead. Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. He said, my Father which is in heaven, he has revealed this to you. And he now went further to make a statement, thou art Peter, and upon this revelation I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So tonight I will use the next 15 minutes to give us the revelation of Jesus, because that's the foundation of your participation and functionality in the ecclesia. To understand Jesus, there are four major offices from whence you must know him. Number one, you must know him as God the Son. And I'll give you the implications of all of these revelations. Number two, you must know him as Son of God. There's a difference between God the Son and Son of God, and we'll look at that briefly in scriptures. Number three, you must know him as Son of Man. And number four, you must know him as the Christ or the Messiah, the messenger of God. If you have these four revelations, then the power and the authority of the ecclesia will rest upon your life. So let's begin very quickly attempting to look at Jesus as God the Son. As God the Son, we recognize him as the second person of the Godhead. Because you see, when you study God, you are going to discover that there are two dimensions of knowing God. You can know God in his essence, and you can know God in his manifestation. Because before, like I began telling you, before creation, God was. But after creation, God needed to interact with creation. And so there is a way God manifests in order to interact with creation. I studied chemistry. And when you study water, for instance, and I'm using natural elements, because Romans chapter 1 verse 18 to 20 said the invisible elements or dimensions of God can be seen, even his eternal power and Godhead. That means there are measures of this reality that we can infer from nature, even though nature can't trap it in holistic essence, but there are dimensions. So in chemistry, we know that water is a chemical combination of hydrogen and oxygen in the ratio of 2:1. So when you find H2O, you find water. But you see, when water manifests, it doesn't manifest as H2O. It either manifests as ice, or it manifests as liquid, which you call water, or it manifests as steam. Ice is not steam, and steam is not liquid. But both ice, steam, and liquid are all H2O. So God is one God in essence, but in manifestation, it manifests as three beings: Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The same way ice is not water and water is not steam, but ice, water, and steam are all equal and H2O. That is how the Father is not the Son, the Son is not the Holy Ghost, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are equal and they are all God. So when we look at Jesus, we recognize Jesus as the second person of the Godhead, eternally co-equal with the Father and the Spirit. By reason of that, Jesus is not a prophet. By reason of that, Jesus is not an apostle. By reason of that, Jesus is not a teacher. By reason of that, Jesus is not an evangelist. There are many religions of the world that call him the greatest prophet. They are all wrong. And knowing Jesus is the way to salvation, so they are all doomed. I'm not a politician. He said in John 14 verse 6, I am the way. I'm not a way. So there are no other ways. And I don't have time to show you how to balance it from the Old Testament. But Jesus is not a prophet. He operates in that office when he was a man, but he's more than a prophet. He operates in the office of the apostle, but he's more than an apostle. He operated in the office of the evangelist, but is more than an evangelist. Jesus is God. You are not, hear me, you are not part of the ecclesia, and you will never see the power of the ecclesia until you recognize Jesus as God. And there are scriptures that validate it. John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the ecclesia, we recognize Jesus as God.
We don't see him as a prophet. As far as we are concerned, he is God, and we represent him. The earth is one of his realms, and we are the agents that facilitate his agenda of the earth realm. He is God, and himself affirmed it in John 8:58. They looked at him and they were debating with him because they thought he was one of their scholars. And he made a statement and they said, how do you know this? You are just a young man. Why are you talking like this? And he looked at them. Don't be deceived by the garment I'm wearing. The one standing here is not a young man. He said, before Abraham was. He didn't say, I was. If he said, I was, it would have meant he was older than Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Look at the reaction of the Jews. Because they knew what he was saying. He was quoting Exodus chapter 3 verse 14. I am that I am. So the moment he said it, the Bible said they took stones to throw at him. Why? Because they knew exactly what he said. He called himself God. There are many religions today, when you say Jesus is God, they tell you, where in the Bible did Jesus say, I am God, worship me? They are illiterate. The Bible said, we have not received the spirit that is of this world, but the spirit that is of God. So we know the things given to us by God. They can't know it because it is spiritually discerned. That's why they ask such questions. The Jews understood it. I am, they took stones. Is that the response? To stone him, because they knew he was inferring that he was God. So Jesus is God. He's not a prophet. And the implication of this revelation, because of our time, I won't go further than this. I would have shown you many scriptures, because there are many. If you study Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, the Bible told us clearly, because the prophets already knew he was God. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And they began to define who he is. The government of this world will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called what? Wonderful. Counselor. What? Mighty God. His name shall be called Mighty God. That's not all. His name shall be called Everlasting Father. Is that a prophet? Which prophet is in this cadre? Is there any prophet called Mighty God? Is there any prophet called Everlasting Father? No one can be called that, because none is. So the one we are talking about is God. If you study 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It said God was manifest in the flesh. It's not prophet manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. The implication of this revelation is that in the ecclesia, we worship Jesus. You know, most of us don't know he's God. That's why, even when they are saying Jesus, we are doing what we are doing. Hey, how are you doing? Yeah, it's okay. Are you all right? We are lifting our hands. The name of Jesus. You are saying, yeah, it's all right. Hey. Are you part of this movement? When we say Jesus, everybody bows. That's a member of the ecclesia. That's a citizen of the ecclesia. What you can't do before your governor, you bring it here? No, you are not among the ecclesia. See, there are many people in church. Few are citizens. Church are members and citizens. Members come for miracles and we give them the go. But citizens are worshippers of Christ. Those who are citizens of the ecclesia, everything they do before anything sacred
is what they do when they are here. You never catch them off guard. There are some who are keeping malice in choir. They are members. They are not citizens. Because there's a conference. They made new hairstyle. They didn't allow them sing. And they kept malice for 2 months. You are wasting your time, sir. And the danger is that you will say what we are saying and become a casualty. Because the powers won't back you. Because in the kingdom, there are no sentiments. The kingdom is a legalistic ground. You tell people, the Bible said, they say, relax. Every time you people come with the Bible said, and you say, what's your name? She's called Mary. That's a religious person. It's not part of the ecclesia. When you see a member of the ecclesia, when you quote scriptures, they tremble. When you say, God said, they tremble. There's regard. Because they recognize Jesus as God. They don't see him as a prophet. You read your Bible. When that revelation hit them, they became worshippers. Matthew 28 verse 9. And John 20:28. The moment you know him, worship happens naturally. Can you project it? And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Wow. That's the disciples. They held him by the feet and worshipped him. That's adoration. That's submission. We are in a generation where even the Holy Ghost whispers to people. They say, they are taking their time. And when you are talking about the leading of the Holy Ghost, they are bold to tell you that the Holy Ghost told me 2 months ago to pray. I have not started. Those who are members of the ecclesia, when the word of God is spoken, is a law to them. But we don't have citizens. That's why people who don't dare break speed limit yet violate the word of God. That means they are more English than they are Christians. Because you know you can't violate the law of the land, but you trivialize with the word of God. You have not known him as God. The day you know him as God, you will become a worshiper. And a worshiper is not a singer. You can worship through singing, but a worshiper is one who adores him and submits completely to his dictates. Who is Jesus? Number two, he is the Son of God. And what does he mean to be Son of God? Many will tell you God does not have a wife. How will he have a son? And I look at them, the question is so ignorant. Because even among living organisms, the lowest organisms don't marry, they have children. And a moreover doesn't need a wife to have a child. That's the lowest realm of organisms. And they are asking you, God, do you know who God is? That he told you men to have wives and intercourse to have children. Does this suggest to you that that's all there is in his syllabus? He is the one who wrote it as a law. That have intimacy to have children in your realm. His realm is superior to yours. Your laws don't bind on him. His laws bind on you. He doesn't need a wife to have a son. And when we say Son of God, we are not saying a biological son. Because in the realm of God, the voice of God is a person. The word of God is a person. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. Even in that same religion, they know the word of God is uncreated. That means they know that the word of God is beyond what you say. In that same religion. But they can't get it because it takes the Holy Ghost to discern it. So the word of God is not sound. You are listening to me talk. You are hearing sound. When God speaks, God walks. He said in Genesis 3:8, and the voice of God came walking in the garden. The voice of God. So when God spoke, the voice came walking. Adam, where are you? Adam. You don't know when we say, hello, be thy name. Hello, hello. We are talking about the one whose ways are beyond finding out. So when we say Son of God, we are talking about the one that proceeds from the Father. And the Word was made flesh. John 1:14, and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know that Jesus is God because he's God the Son, but we also know that he's the Son of God because he is the one that proceeds from the Father. So every time we want to understand the dimensions of God, we look at the one that came from the Father. The Bible said in John 1:18, it said, no man have seen God at any time. It said, the only begotten of the Father, who was from the bosom of the Father, he said, he has declared him. He has declared him. The word is exegomai. He has propagated him. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The word is phanero. He has showcased God. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom also all things were created, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image, the effulgence, the express image of his person is apogasma. He effused God like gas. So when you want to see the dimensions of the invisible God, he is the portrait that showcases God. God has a profile picture. Jesus is that profile picture. If you can't see him, you can't see the God. Now, what's the implication of this revelation? Because every revelation has implication. Knowing the revelation is not enough. Please sit down. Understanding the implication is what makes you receive of that revelation. When we know he is God, the implication is that we worship him. But when we see him as Son of God, the implication is that now we know that man can carry God. Are you beginning to understand why without that revelation there can't be ecclesia? Because the project God had in mind was for men to carry him. Genesis 1:26, let us make man, not in the image of an angel. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. There are two words used there. The word image is the word salim. It means idol. So the same way idols carry dimensions of spirit, when God created man, he created us to be carriers of divine dimensions. The word likeness is the word demetu. It means model. Model. The same way you model a reality. So man was created to carry God and to model God. That's why when Satan saw it, he was afraid. Because there was a debate in the angelic realm. What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is this being that you are creating? No angel had the privilege of carrying you. Is it possible to carry you? Even heaven can't contain you. Heaven is your throne. The earth is your footstool. What are you creating? What are you creating? As far as we know, nothing could contain you. The earth, the heaven is your throne. The earth is your footstool.
What is this being that you are creating, that you are announcing publicly that he will carry you? What is he? The first time God could be contained was when man was created. Satan saw it, truncated it. So when Jesus came, he completed the project. That's why in Colossians 2:9, he said, "It pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily." And he said in verse 10, "You are complete in him." So the implication of Jesus as Son of God is that we now understand that the house of God is not heaven. The house of God is not earth. The address of God is not heaven. That's why he said, this is the mystery of the age. For all aeons, this was the mystery that every creature wanted to know. And that mystery was attained when man was created. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God tabernacles in you. God tabernacles. So when Jesus came as Son of God, he was showing us what God wanted to mass produce. I don't want to live in heaven. I want to live on your inside. I want to dwell on your inside. I want to live on your inside. And when we came into Christ, God came into us. Christ in you. Nobody would have believed it was possible for God to be hosted by a creation until Jesus showed up. Yes, men can carry God. And everyone who is in me, God is deposited on his inside. This is why in the ecclesia, we know who Jesus is to be ecclesia. Because when you represent God, you don't talk about God, you manifest God. Anybody can talk about God. You go study theology. There are many atheists who are professors of theology. There are many people of the other religion that are professors of theology. But they can't know God because they don't have him. See, we don't just talk about God, we manifest God. That's why when we talk, transformation happens. When we talk, healing happens. When we talk, direction is given. Because we are not educating you necessarily. You will be educated when you hear us. But what we are speaking, they are not words. They are spirit and they are life. We carry God because Jesus carried God. That's the implication of Son of God. So the ecclesia are not just another religious people. They are carriers of God who go out to show God to a world. We go out. That's why we were called witnesses. We were not called preachers. We witness through preaching, but we are witnesses. You can preach and not be a witness. But because we carry God, we showcase God. We preach and see tumors disappear. The last time I was in London here preaching, a lady that had lumbar, is this scoliosis now, doctor? The bone was curved. She came with X-ray. As we were talking, bone straightened. Because it's not English. It's power we are communicating, sir. It's power. People come to you 13 years barren, go and give birth. And they come back same year. Is that English? No, sir. The beauty of that one is not in the accent, it's in the result that it produces. Accent is important, but brother, power, power, power is the glory of the ecclesia. We carry him, we manifest him. Those of you listening to me here, you will be shocked what this weekend and next week will look like for you. You will be shocked. As in, you will be shocked. The favor. People will look at you and they will say, there is something different about you. It's not a joke. You came under a cloud. Hey! You came under a cloud. Some of you, wisdom, the wisdom you operate in, you'll be shocked. You know what? When you start talking about Jesus, you open the gate for the Holy Ghost. He said, when the Spirit of truth is come, he guides you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. The Holy Ghost didn't come to talk about himself. He came to glorify Christ. So every time you preach Christ, the Holy Ghost walks. That's why some of you, healings are happening to you now. Addictions are breaking. Direction is coming. Favor is being imparted. And I prophesy to someone, you are moving to a higher pedestal. Please sit down. Let me round up. I want prophet to come up. I love to see prophets manifest. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know this in the ecclesia. That's why every one of us know we carry God. Sir, we know. When we move, we know God moves. He doesn't just walk with us. He walks in us. In Philippians 2:13, it says, it is God that walketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. So God is not just with us. Yes, he's with us, but he's in us. The difference between us and the Old Testament believers is that God was with them. In our own case, he's with us and he's in us. Philippians 2:13 says he's in us, walking. And Mark 16:20 says he went with them, confirming their words. We carry God, sir. We know. And if you ask us, how do you think it's possible? We point you to Jesus. He was the one who showed us the possibility. And because he did it, he brought us into the same economy. Glory to God. Number three, what's the revelation of Jesus? He is the Son of Man. And Son of Man has two implications. Number one, he came to serve the purposes of God, which the death, burial, and resurrection was inclusive. In fact, this is where Son of God and Son of Man converges. Because in John 3:16, we saw that Son of God came to die. And then, we also saw that the Son of Man came to serve the will of God. Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man came not to serve, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the reason we know Jesus to be ecclesia is because in the ecclesia we are righteous, we are holy, we are justified. And that cannot be possible except as Christ made it possible. Why are we justified? Romans 4:25. He was delivered for our offense, that we might be made right with God. And then Romans 5:1 is a being delivered, being made, being freely justified by faith. We have peace with God. So we are justified because we know him as Son of Man. Number two, we are righteous, not because we did right, but because he did right. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him that was without sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God, not in ourselves. In ourselves, we are filthy rags. We might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I am righteous not because of me. I'm righteous because of him. Now that I am righteous, I can now live right. If I was not righteous, it would have been impossible to live right. But now that I have been made righteous, I can live right. But all of that is possible because I know him as Son of Man. He is my ransom. So we are justified. We are righteous. And because we are righteous, we are accepted in the beloved. And we are empowered to reign in life. Ephesians 1, 3, 4, and 5. Look at the way the Bible puts it. I have a place in God because of Jesus. I have a stake in the realm of God. I was a nobody until I entered Christ. The guy you are looking at here is a prince in the realm of Zion. And it's not because I'm an apostle, because I know him as Son of Man. And the same applies to you. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. So outside of Christ, we have nothing in heavenly places. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the whole of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He chose us in himself before the foundation of the world, but we would never have become children outside Christ. Now that we have become children, verse 6, we are accepted in the beloved. That's why I say, being freely justified by faith, we have peace with God. I have peace with God. I have peace with God. When he looks at me, I'm blameless because of Christ. I am separated unto God because of Christ. So everything I live out now that is right, I'm doing it because I was made. I tell people, there's no way you can train a baboon to speak. It can say a word or two, but it can't speak eloquently. It doesn't even have the brain to make cognitive statements, because the nature does not support it. So the reason you live right is not because you tried, it's because you were made right. Now that you are made right, it's now reasonable for you to live right. So we do righteousness because we were made righteous. And the reason we are made righteous is because we know that he took our sins and gave us the nature of God. And on the strength of that, we reign in life. This is why we can go to places and enact laws. Because righteousness is an empowerment. The Bible said in Romans 5:17, it's the day we receive abundance of grace. You can't even be righteous without abundance of grace. And of the gift of righteousness, is that they reign in life. The word reign is the word basileus. It means to king through life. And it's where the word of the king is, there's power. Who can say unto him, what doest thou? This is why we can't be ecclesias until we know Jesus. The revelation of Jesus as Son of Man delivers you from sin, makes you righteous, justifies you, and empowers you to reign in life. If you study Daniel 7:13, you will see that the Son of Man is the one who represents man in the realm of God. So, Son of God represents God in the realm of man. Son of Man represents man in the realm of God. So, we are rulers, not only on earth, even in the spirit. You go check, the first Adam had authority only in the air, water, and land. He couldn't deal with any spirit. He didn't have stake there. But because we are in the last Adam, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Jurisdiction has changed. But against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Why is that possible? Because Ephesians 1:21, he is seated above principalities and powers, dominions, and every name that is named. Ephesians 2:6, we are seated with him. So we are not just exerting authority over animals. We exert authority over spirits. We don't advise demons. We kick them out. This is the revelation that sponsors it. Because as Son of Man, he was given an everlasting dominion, and we were included in him. Daniel 7:13-14. Yeah. Prophet, better start putting on your prophetic eyeglasses. You are going to come up now. I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Verse 14. Then to him was given dominion and glory, and a kingdom that all peoples and all nations and all language shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall never be destroyed. It's as the Son of Man that he paid the price of sin. He fulfilled the claims of divine justice. And he was given the honor of rulership. And he didn't just go there as an individual. He brought us into himself. So that we too can co-rule with him. So that we too can co-inherit with him. No wonder Romans 8:17 said, we are joint heirs with Christ. So the ecclesia must have the revelation of Jesus, because therein
is our dominion. If we don't know Jesus, we will never walk in dominion. And finally, he is the Christ. Peter said in Matthew 16:16, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ. What the implication of the Christ? The word Christ is the word Messiah. And it's the word that was transliterated from the word Mashiach. And when you study the word Mashiach, it means the anointed one and his anointing. This is why in the Old Testament, every time men are empowered, they are Mashiach. And if you study the Old Testament, only three categories of people are Mashiach: prophets, priests, and kings. The implication of the revelation of the Christ is not just that he's the one who ran the errand of God. It also reveals that we too can now run divine errands. And we are not running those errands as slaves. We are running those errands as kings, as priests, and as prophetic people. They say you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth to showcase the excellences of him that called you to glory and virtue. Every one of you looking at me here, you are kings and you are priests. Because in Christ, you too have been Mashiach'd. You have been brought into the office of kingship. Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 is the unto him that washed us in his blood and made us kings and priests unto God. Kingship in this context is power to exercise dominion. So when you find ecclesia that has power, they know the Christ. Priesthood in this context is access to God's presence. Because in the Old Testament, only the high priest enters the holiest of all. So we carry God's presence now because we have been Mashiach'd. And prophet in this context is not that every one of us is a prophet. It means we are a prophetic generation. And what that means is that we have access to the voice of God. It says, my sheep heareth my voice and they obey me. The implication of the Christ is that every one of us has been commissioned to represent Jesus. And we were not commissioned as beggarly people. We were commissioned as kings, people of dominion. We were commissioned as priests, carriers of the presence. And we were commissioned as prophets, men that have access to the voice of God. In 1 John 20, verse 28, you say, as the Father has sent me, he says, so send I you. When you go out, it's not Peter that is going out. When you go out, it's not John that is going out. When you go out, it's not Michael that is going out. When you go out, it's Christ that is going out. Because you are going out as one Mashiach. No wonder the Bible said they went in Mark 16:20, and it said, and he went with them, confirming their words with signs and wonders. In Matthew 28, verse 20, it said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. If you don't know the Christ, when you go out, you will think Martha is the one who went out. You will think Luke is the one who went out. You will think Nathaniel is the one who went out. But those of us who know the implication of the Christ, when we go out, we know Christ is going out. And everything Jesus would have done if he was there, will happen now that we are here. And he has released the Holy Ghost to ensure it. This is why we are able to function as the ecclesia. He said, upon this foundation, I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. Can we rise up and worship for 2 minutes? May I will release fire. I will release fire for 5 minutes. Then prophets will come. Can we pray the Holy Ghost? Hello, Cariata Naperia. Mantecatoria Tale. Natalia Panada. Ah,
Become mighty. Spiritual cadres are a function of the secret that men are giving access to. Because therein lies our glory. Is that the things were seen before the foundations of the world for our glory. So the eyes that can see through the darkness and discern the secrets of the spirit, God is about to impart those eyes. And then number two is influence. Horns that will be exalted. He said, my horn hast thou exalted like the horn of the unicorn. If we don't have influence, our number will count for nothing. The time has come for God to give individuals the strength of 1,000 men. See, when you see some men come into territory, things shut down. They are not one man, they have strength of many. That's why they do things with ease. What 100 men can't do, one man does it with ease. You know that he has been magnified. And then number three is speed. The rate we are going, even if Jesus comes, we may not do much. And so God will multiply speed. Can you lift your right hand and just be quiet? The angels are walking with me. They will pick 7 people out. 7 at the time. 7. And they will put those dimensions upon them. as a representation. Seven. It's just seven. Seven. Help me now. Help me. Seven. Seven. Because we are about to end the dimension. The prophets will bring new beginnings. But I'm bringing, this is a number of completion. Seven. Seven. A new era, a new dimension. Holy Ghost. Bahaliata. Manto Kaparote. Valecano Tapa. Access to secrets. Realms of speed. Dimensions of influence. Holy Ghost. Touch. Sahita. Kaperiana. Takatoa. Farakana. I speak as one sent. I speak as a witness, a custodian of the secrets of Elohim. I bring you no friend. Holy Ghost, touch. Men that he had. The Bible said daily men joined themselves to David until his host became like the host of God. A man was compelled to God because the men that David had have dimensions in their spirit. One man can have the strength of 800 men. The Bible spoke about the mighty men of David. He said there was a man called Adoni the Ethnite. One man fought a garrison. A garrison, one man. He said, he spoke of Eleazar, the son of Dodo. He took a spear and he slew 800 men. 800 men, one man. That means if three of David's men are standing, they are equivalent to 3,000 men. God is enlarging somebody's capacity. Wherever you are standing, wherever you are standing, I speak by the Spirit, the strength of many, the strength of many.